up, everybody? What's up? What's up? All right, man. We tune into one of the craziest shows in the world, Life of the Dust Live. This is your boy, Ceddie J, and we got a very hot show for y'all today. We got author Toneil Jackson in the building, and I can't wait to chop it up with her. Long time Kevin has been in my calendar for a bit. And then, you know, of course, second half of the show, the T. Marie Hour. Oh, we got some special stuff for y'all. We'll also be giving out a free copy. Yes, I said free copy. And that's for everyone listening to the show. I'll be posting it. I'll be mentioning the show, and I'll be posting it on our social networks. Y'all can check it out. It's the new book by my boy, Anthony Lamar Smith. It is, something like drum roll, How to Achieve Your Dreams and Goals in 21 Days and Experience Life. So I will be dropping that in the middle of the show. Y'all be on the lookout for it. But y'all now tune into one of the craziest shows in the world. Let's go.
Career, Ceddie J holds the title, and I bet when the smoke clears, you gon' need you a bottle, cause this vlog is real talk, ain't no American Idol, jockin' some more and tearing Lamona in your divider, and if you don't tune in, you might as well play the lotto, because your chances of winning is like wishing in a bottle, this is Life After Dust, music wins with hot models, we got them. Life After Dust, 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 by the radio, to come up is a must, must. You must tune in on your radio. You could even visit dustspot.com every Monday and Wednesday, Ceddie J is on.
All right, we had to make sure we open it right, you know, on half steps. All right, welcome to the show, one of the craziest shows on the internet. This is Life of the Dust Live, and oh my God, man, like I said, we got a hot show for today. Now wait, and you know, y'all know we are very famously known for being hot after dusk Mondays, and every hot dusk Monday, we bring you some hot news, or we bring you some hot myths, some hot interviews, or hot music. And today, you know, we're bringing our Motivation Monday. You know, we've been doing that a little bit around here lately. You know, we try to motivate y'all, too. We go in on some nonsense, but we also try to motivate you because, heck, you know, if everybody wants to say there's a problem, but if you're not offering a solution, then what point is it anyway that you have to make that comment? All right, so I'm going to go ahead and go to the phone line. I see we got the one and only in the building now. Let me go ahead and welcome to the show the beautiful and talented Miss Toneil Jackson. What's up, what's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing all right, you know. I've been doing the most today. I'm like, Lord, help me, please. Lord, don't let me take the wheel. You know, I was making them, you know, telling them don't take the wheel for me. I was hanging in there.
Wow. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
Oh, no problem, man. You know, it's been, you know, I obviously have people in my calendar and I see them for a while, but, oh, yeah, I can't believe this person. And my brain be premeditated. Is he ready? And what I like about you, you know, we kind of let you tell a little more about yourself, but I know as far as you do stuff for not just catering towards adults, because, of course, you know, the great backbone behind making everything work is the adults, but you also do things to empower the children in the world. So that's one of the great things. I can't wait for you to come on the show because it's the beginning of December. It's December 2nd to be exact. And y'all know this month is all about gifts. Gifts. But, heck, you know, we going into a new year, and I think that, you know, it's cool to get the kids collecting their gifts for Christmas and everything, but let's also empower them, too. So definitely it's great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here.
Problem. Now, for those who don't know who you are, let them know who you are, you know, what you do, and how you do it so well.
Wow, that's actually a great question, because I guess depending on who you ask would dictate how that question is answered. But typically, if people ask me who I am, I would pretty much describe myself professionally. I am an international award-winning author. I am a how-to guru. I'm like well-versed on a variety of topics, from relationships to parenting to writing to self-improvement to effective communication techniques, money management. All of those are things that I do. I have backgrounds in various backgrounds, from whether it's a professional work background or educational background. So I got expertise with all of that. But I think, you know, despite all of the accolades, what I hold most dear is the fact that I am a married mother of many. I will be married 12 years this Friday, and we have, like, bunches of kids together. So, you know, for me, that is my pride and joy. That's my most prized accomplishment.
Definitely, you know, big congratulations. Congratulations to you, you know.
Thank you so much.
A lot of, especially in this day and age, a lot of people, you know, I love that someone said this on Facebook the other day, people too worry about getting married instead of trying to stay married.
Stay married, yes.
Y'all figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are like, that went over their head, like, wait a minute.
Yeah, they're infatuated with the idea and the concept of it, not the actual work that it takes to keep it going once they get there.
Right. And then they understand the background and the foundation you should have laid before you said let's get married in the first place. So, yeah. Now, I'll rock the back, because I'm about to play devil's advocate, which, you know, people like to say that I do so well, but... As far as rock the back, I'm going to throw it at you. Is there such thing as, you know, some people might laugh and say, what kind of question is that? But it really is a deep thought question. Is there such thing as a bad kid?
Is there such thing as a bad kid? I would actually venture to say yes, but it's not just a blanket yes. I really think that it depends on their upbringing, because I am one who, before I look at the child, I look at the parent, I look at their circumstances, their upbringing, their situation, because, you know, so many times, especially in this society, we are so quick to write off a child as, you know, they're just bad, just, you know, is nothing that can be done with them. And maybe because I have experience raising so many children that were not my own, and I know firsthand what, you know, when you give a child love and attention and affection, how that can turn them around. But I think that really it's easier to say, yes, it's bad children, as opposed to saying, yes, they are bad parents. And that's where the bad children come from. Because one of the things I say all the time, children can learn whatever you teach them, they learn. And so, you know, I think that we need to start looking at the parents and where they're getting their habits from. So, you know, it's not to say that every bad child is a result of a bad parent, but I would venture to say that most, quote-unquote, bad children come from bad homes. So that would be my answer to your question.
Okay. Now, within the past 5 years, what's been, you know, what's the big difference you notice between kids from over a 5 year span between now and 5 years ago? What's been the big differences you're noticing now versus kids back then, 5 years ago?
Well, you know what? I think there are two differences that really come to my mind. First of all, on the child's end, you know, society has the role models, the morals and the values of society are really changing, you know, like with, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, but with, you know, role models like Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne and Drake and all of these who, you know, so many of, and again, I don't have anything personally against Nicki Minaj or Lil Wayne, but again, I am an adult. So I have been able to, I've been shaped, my mind has already been formed. I'm able to listen to whatever messages that they put out and make my own decisions. But when you have, you know, and I'm not just limiting it to them, But when you have so many individuals such as them that's preaching all these messages, you know, and it's to underdeveloped minds, to children who haven't lived anything, who haven't experienced anything, and this is their end-all, be-all role model, again, going back to the homes, they don't have, you know, parents in the homes teaching them, and these are the things that they're learning, that kind of shapes how they turn out, and that's a lot different than the role models that you had, you know, some time ago, whether you want to talk about late 90s or even early 2000s. It's kind of now like the blind leading the blind because you have so many young leading the young, where before you had more that were a little bit older, so you would have, say, like 20-something-year-olds leading 15 and 12-year-olds as opposed to 17-year-olds leading 12-year-olds or whatever. But the other thing that I would say is that you have so many babies having babies now. You know, it's always been a such thing as youth having, you know, like people having children young. But, I mean, nowadays it's kind of in now. It's like trendy to be a parent at 12 and 14 and 15. And so it's like when these kids are coming up, no, the parents are not in the home because they're still in the club or they're still, you know, getting their GED or they're still, you know, they're doing all of these things because they're still young themselves. And so, you know, it's kind of hard for the children to come up well-developed when, you know, they were not, that's not the upbringing that they had. And, again, it's not a blanket statement. It doesn't mean that every person that has a child at a young age is an unfit parent. But the reality is that most are.
Right, you know what, and I can say it's because there's not a lot of young parents taking the time out to, you know, the ones that's doing right, they're not taking the time out to really show these people, hey, I'm a young parent, I'm making all this happen, you know, no excuses, you know, do what you need to do. And as far as, okay, so, because I'm going to go to the parents now because, like you said, that's the root of, well, what's the difference between a good kid and a bad kid? As far as the parents, let's say it is a young parent, how can they find that balance of being a parent, yet, you know, still transitioning within their ages? Because at the end of the day, you're still 22. Yeah, you're going to try to elevate your mind and think like a parent, but you still got that 20, but you're still 22 years old. So how does a parent, a younger parent, you know, find a way to still make that balance happen, to still be young, but also be responsible and be the adult that their child needs.
You know, I think in many situations it's easier said than done, because the fact is that when you have parents that are really young, the reason why they became parents really young was because they were immature. You see what I'm saying? Like it takes a mature, you have to reach a certain level of maturity to understand that you need help, to understand, you know, the morals and the values that you need to be able to teach your children. And so many times the reason why you became a parent young is because you lack those morals or values, or because you didn't have anyone there to teach them to you, or, you know, and again, it's not to make any excuses, and it's not to say that because you become a parent at a young age that you are incapable of doing it, but it's just going to make it a lot more difficult. So what I would say is when you have these young parents, 14, 16, you know, 18 years old, having a child, then they have to be able to possess a sense of selflessness. And if you think about it, most teenagers, that's really the time of your life where you're the most selfish. You know, you're coming into your own. You're learning who you are as a person. All you really care about is everything that you want. So to have to reject that what comes natural to you, to say, hey, well, I have somebody else to take care of now, so it's no my life is no longer about me, because parent will tell you that to a great degree, once you become a parent, if you desire to be a good parent, you have to inherit some selfless traits. You know, you have to become a person where you will sacrifice yourself for your child. And when you are in the time of your life where everything you feel revolves around you, it's kind of hard to develop that, because even being a young parent, and even if you say, okay, well, I do want to do things for my baby, it's still from an immature mindset where you're just thinking about how you're going to look in these clothes or how your baby daddy going to treat you now or, you know, if he's going to look at this. But it's still from an immature mindset, even if they do, you know, say, well, I do want to take care of my child. So it's really, you know, I would say that they really would need to have some mentorship. They would need to, you know, get themselves involved in some parenting classes and just, you know, different things like that to really show that they are serious and that they want to do what's best for their child.
Okay, okay, good. You know, and the thing is, too, what on the flip side, or what a lot of people don't know is, because a lot of people think, oh, my God, I had a child, the world's over. Like, we didn't say that. A lot of people do that. They go into the cell and then they start wanting to feel sorry for themselves and what they think that the world is over because they had a child. But that don't mean you can't have fun. You got to think mm-hmm. of more so you got to cut down on some of that fun because you need to make sure that your child is having fun if you catch what I mean. A lot of people don't get that.
Exactly. I mean, and pretty much what you're saying is just in knowing how to balance the fact that there is a balance that exists. Just because you have a child does not mean that your life is over. It does mean, or it should mean, that you are no longer top priority. You know, yes, you want to make sure that you're still happy, but the welfare of your child should take precedence. And a lot of these things that we're discussing are things that I discuss in my book, It's a Way to Say It All, How to Communicate with Your Children. I discuss various things from infanthood to adolescence because I am a firm believer in something that you touched on earlier. You know, you don't break people down without being able to build them back up. So anytime I criticize, I also compliment. So anything that I'm saying, you know, in this interview, again, it's a blanket interview right now, so it's only certain things that I can address. But people can definitely go to my book, and it pretty much breaks it down stage by stage from, you know, infants to toddlers to tweens to teens, how to be a good parent, how to deal with your child, how to understand your child. So for those individuals that you're talking about that need help, is really a great guide that they can look at and they can learn from. And then another one of my books, Inspiration from Above, it really kind of helps walk you through how to transform tragedy into triumph. So if you became a parent at a young age, no, it does not mean that your life is over. You can still have your life and be a good parent. You don't have to go to having abortions. You don't necessarily just have to give your child away. You don't have to end your life. Like, there is still life after being a single mom or a single parent or a teenage parent. You can still do both effectively, but you have to be willing to put in the work and dedicate yourself to do so.
Oh, definitely. Now, here's the thing I think about a lot, because there's still, like you say, back to getting the younger parents or people who are in more areas where, you know, in more sort of poverty restricted areas, you know, they have to deal with stuff like they are trying to be responsible parents, but every time you turn your head, you got all these different obstacles that want to stop you. And, of course, you know, I'm going to talk about the persevering parents that keep going through. How does a parent that's really trying to be a good parent and trying to get through this stuff, how do they find a way to stay positive through all this stuff? Because sometimes, even like, for instance, it seems like some of the jobs, you know, you're going to work every day and you're getting paid, and you got to go to McDonald's, and McDonald's aren't going to pay you so little to work an hour. And sometimes you only work for 29 hours because some of these people want to avoid paying health care and whatnot. How does a parent who's really trying to go for their child, how do they find a way to still win with all these different struggles they got to deal with when they're trying to be a good parent?
Well, you know what? What I would say, because that's honestly, that's real talk. That's a real question. in today's world, because, again, you do have so many, and I won't even say young parents, because that question really is not just about the age of the parent. It's also based upon the reality, the economy that we are in right now, where, I mean, you have many grown, and when I say grown, I mean, like, you know, late 20s, late 30s, parents who have no other choice but to work in, you know, fast food restaurants or waitressing or whatever. But I am one that believes that where there's a will, there's a way. So, no, you might not be able to, you know, provide what you want to, but you have to understand that there's a difference. A child sees things through your eyes. So if you are, you know, coming across as being the happy parent, and, again, it doesn't mean that things are always going to be perfect, you know, and that's the thing that we have to understand. With the society we are in, everything is all name brand this, name brand that. If you are working a minimum wage job, then obviously your concern shouldn't be to make sure that your child has a brand new pair of Nikes that's going to cost like half of your paycheck, if not your entire paycheck. So, again, this is where prioritizing comes into play. This is where, you know, knowing about budgeting comes into play, just making sure that your child has the bare necessities, making sure that you're able to keep a roof over their head, food on their table. You know, you're not in a contest with anybody else. And that's, again, where a lot of people lack, a lot of young people, and where this is what I'm saying, like the level of maturity has to increase, because when you're a teenager, you know, again, so many times you're thinking about name brand shoes. You're thinking about, you know, I want the latest Nikes. I want the latest Tims. I want the latest. And when you're a parent, that's not, you're not concerned about keeping up with the Joneses, or at least you shouldn't be if that's not what is in your budget. If your budget says, you know what, my child has to go to Sherman's, or my child has to go to Payless or Shoe Depot or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be real with yourself and stop trying to, you're the one that has to take care of your child, not all these people that you're trying to win a competition against.
Well, you know what's funny, too? A lot of times I laugh because I'll go shopping places, Clearance Rack, go shopping, you know, getting stuff. The stuff still looks nice, but I'm smart about how I spend my money. It will still look better than somebody else. And people don't get that. They're like, yeah, I got to get on this brand-new polo, man. You see a brand-new polo, man? It cost me $200. It looks like the same shirt that's an Aeropostale that I can go get for $20. And I'm still going to look better than you. How does that even happen?
And then not only that, it's also about, again, mentality. Because if you teach your child that it's not about the labels are not who makes you who you are. Being the person that you are, being a respectful individual, that's what people are going to look at more than they look at a label. See, parents are the ones who, you know, they basically emphasize, or they enforce the fact that, oh, it's okay to be shallow, because that's all that the labels are about. Now, look, don't get me wrong. Yes, I have a lot of children, and yes, my children have name brand gym shoes, but they also know times when they didn't have name brand gym shoes, and they were happy just the same, because as a parent, the way I presented to them was not, hey, ooh, y'all, let's go and get y'all Nikes or Reeboks or Pumas versus let's go to Payless or let's go to Shoe Depot to get your shoes. No, it's, come on, it's time to go get y'all shoes for school. You see what I'm saying? Like, children vibe off of you and what it is that you put out. And if you put out negative, if you put out like this is, you're lower because of the fact that you only have this, then that's what they're going to receive. But if you put out, you know what, hard work is what's important. Mommy goes to work every day to make sure that you have this, then that's what they're going to receive. And, you know, sometimes as parents, we put too much turmoil on ourselves. We put too much stress, too much pressure on ourselves because we're trying to assert an air when it's not even necessary. It's not called for, because at the end of the day, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody's walking around checking your tag to see where your shirt came from. And if they did, then, you know, again, not trying to be cliche or even corny, but is that really the type of friend that you want anyway? They only like you if you have a certain label. So these are the
ground rules, morals, and values that we have to be able to train our children up so that way when they come up, they're coming up with a great sense of pride in themselves, not in their clothes or in their labels.
Shoot, all right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back because I got some more. And y'all thought she was on. That was just a little bit. She was on fire already. We just getting started. All right, we'll be back. Speaking of being comfortable with who you are, this is my girl, Karana Jackson. This is coming out, and we'll be back right here on Life That Does Live. It's Motivation Monday. My special guest, Tony Jackson.
What's up, everybody? This is Entice Diamante, and I got to let you know that every Monday night and every Wednesday night, you got to come through the dust spot. That's right. Tune into Life After Dust with Taryn Lamon, Jaquisa Moore, and my boy, Ceddie J, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio.
All right. We're back. And that was my girl, Kawana Jackson, with coming. We're back with a special guest, author, the great author, Toniel Jackson. If y'all missed any parts of the show, I know some of y'all are like, man, I just got in. I heard y'all was going in. You know, you can always check out the shows in their entirety by going to blogtalkradio.com/SettyJ, just like the CEDDYJ. And if you got, you know, your smartphone, you got iTunes, you can download it straight into your phone to iTunes. It's free. Why not the heck listen to it for free over and over and over again? So, yes. But she, and this is the disclaimer. She's giving y'all a taste. And y'all got to get the books to get the whole entire thing. She's giving y'all, like, you know how you go to Sam's and you get the sample of the stuff you like, you know, you get a little sample. But she's giving you a sample. You got to buy the rest of the product to really taste how good it really is. So, yes, I had to throw that disclaimer out there. But, yes. So, I don't know, some other stuff, you know, you got a lot of stuff on your plate that you are very, 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 very versed in. And another thing I want to talk about, because you were talking about me, talking about in the break, as far as you do a lot of stuff to help inspire other authors. And,
yeah.
You know, for me, that's a big thing because every year, you know, and I've been involved with this for the past 2 years now, we do something here in Fort Worth. One of the few black-owned bookstores in the Southwest region, the Dodge Bookstore.
Wow.
And, you know, every year we do something called the Literary Soul Fest. And it basically involves different types of storytellers and authors, and they all come together. They either present their books, they do poetry. We even have a lot of kids to show before, too. I mean, so my love for authors is crazy. It's all day long. And shout out to the one that said to hit me up asking to be in her stage play. I'm still going to get to you on that. Don't worry, I will be getting to you on that. So, yes. As far as inspiring authors, because it's kind of like, you know, I remember, and I forget the movie it's from right now, but they say, oh, it was Sister Act 2. And Whoopi Goldberg said, if every day you wake up and all you can think about is singing, and that's what you're supposed
mm-hmm.
to be doing, is singing.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as being an author, what's some of the stuff that a person who really wants to be an author, what's some of that foundation work they need to do before they get it deeper and deeper and deeper into it?
Well, you know what? That's actually a great question. And I tell people all the time when I'm on my show interviewing different authors or whatever, I tell them all the time, like, make sure that you know the reason why you are coming out. Because so many times people don't have a clue, they don't have a plan. And I'm just going to put myself on blast because I was one of those people. When I wrote my first book 3 years ago, I had no plans on becoming an author. I was going back to school to get my master's degree, and in the midst of that, I happened to write my first book, Pleasing Your Partner, A Spiritual Guide to Happiness, and then it ended up getting published, and it just took on a life of its own. And I mean, like, I came out first book ranked number 3 National Black Book Festival's Best New Author, and I'm like, oh my God, like, I really need to kind of do some research on what this whole literary world is about. And so that's really what I would tell authors, you know, like, if there is an author and you know, or I put it like this, if you are right now a writer, if you love writing and you know that one day you want for your material to become published, then figure out to what level, to what extent. And again, this is something I tell authors all the time. Why do you want to get published? Do you want to get published simply because you want to leave a legacy for your children or for your family? Do you want to get published simply to prove to yourself that you were able to accomplish a lifelong dream? Or are you trying to get published because you have a message that you want for people to know? You know, you're trying to make a name for yourself, build a brand for yourself. Because depending on how you respond to that question will determine how it is that you come out. It will determine what your budget looks like, what your business plan looks like, because there is going to be a different plan for each one of those instances. So, you know, again, if you come out and you really have this message and you want to share it with the world, then that's exactly what you need to do. You need to have a budget in place to decide
how you're going to do it. Are you going to travel to different places? Are you going to attend various book events? Are you just going to, you know, participate in different contests? Because there are so many different opportunities for authors to get various exposures. And that's one of the things that I do with my company. It's called Authors Promoting Success. And that's what we do. We help authors, whether they are novice, whether they are seasoned, or even aspiring authors. We have a variety of promotional and professional tools that can help authors just gain that exposure. They have links with other authors that's already in the literary industry. And just a little shameless plug really quickly, we do have a phenomenal holiday special that's going on where they can get 3 months of our services for only $100. So that's less than like $35 a month for the various services. And I'm not going to go into all of the services, but what I will do is say for anyone who is interested, they can go to www.weareaps.com for more information. That's www.weareaps.com.
Most definitely. You know, I'm over here being nosy on your to-do as you speak.
Yeah, check it out, because while you're looking at it, you'll see that it's not just me. I'm not standing alone. This is set up to be a national organization. I already have authors from like 8 or 9 different states, so it's not just everybody that knows me knows that I'm born and raised from Chicago. So it's not just Midwest, I mean, because, yeah, we do have other Midwest authors that are helping to represent. I got people that I've teamed up with that are serving as chapter presidents. So I have the likes of Dominique Wilkins out of Indiana, Yvette Bentley is out of Kentucky. We got Mario King, who was just, he just won the 2013 Black Writers and Book Club Male Author of the Year. He's out of North Carolina. I have Tremaine Moore that's out of, I believe, Tremaine is Tallahassee, Florida. Michelle Portier is Jacksonville, Florida. Amani Jackson is out of Virginia. Melissa Ricks is out of Delaware. And then I have Andrea Davis is out of Baltimore. So I have a lot, and I'm hoping I didn't forget any of them. But we are all over, and we're steadily building. We got liaisons from various parts of the country as well, trying to represent. So, you know, it's really something that would be advantageous for any authors, because again, they're going to be on the site, and being part of Authors Promoting Success pretty much guarantees that they are going to be represented not just from the state that they're in, but also from the other states of the involved chapter president. So, you know, you come on board. Again, it's $100, but it's 3 months. So for 3 months, you get your picture, you got your website if you have one, you got a bio of yourself, your book is in the bookstore. I mean, it's just a variety of things. You got your events that's listed and promoted. You get a radio interview. So, I mean, like, you really can't beat that. If you're really looking to get exposure, this is really one of the ways to do it. Connect with some of the authors that's already in the industry, people who, and learn from us, you know. So we're offering not just this membership, but also a sense of camaraderie and, like, a real literary support group.
Now, I'm going to be real, real evil on you. And I know this is always one of the things all of y'all hate about me, but it's okay. Which is, I'm going to throw one of the toughest questions at you. As far as all the books you've written to date,
mm-hmm.
What is your favorite one that you've done and why?
You cannot ask an author of multiple titles to choose their favorite book.
So
that is like asking a parent to choose a favorite child. Can we take the cheetah answer? They're all my favorite, but just in different ways. Can we go with that? So, like, for example, my first book, Pleasing Your Partner, Spiritual Guides to Happiness, of course I love that, and I have a bond to that book because it was my first. This was my first taste of getting out there as an author. Then my next book, which was actually a children's book, that I love it. It's called Four Girls, A Lot of Choices, and is based upon my experiences raising my four girls. So because of what it is and the connection that I have with that book and the fact that it was my first children's book, then that really is, you know, is near and dear to my heart. Then the next two volumes one and two. It's a way to say it all. First one is how to communicate with your partner. Second one is how to communicate with your kids. Those two, because when I graduated from DePaul, my major was communication. So being a communication junkie, I love all things communication. Like, those were my two books that I really kind of got to express myself, teaching other people how, like, effective communication techniques and tips. So I love those two for that reason. And then I did another children's book, Four Girls Learn Their Colors, and that kind of just explored a little bit more than the first children's book did. But if I'm going to answer your question the best way that I can, I will actually say The Inspiration from Above, which was the last nonfiction self-help book that I wrote, that would probably be the one that I would allude to as being, I will say your word, my favorite. And I would say that's because I'm using your word, not mine, but that's because in all of the other books, it's pretty much me, in all, not the children's books, but in all the other nonfiction books, it's pretty much kind of me teaching you or telling you, you know, do this, do this, do this, you know, this will help, this will help. Inspiration from Above really is the first book in which I revealed pieces of myself. So anyone who wants to know things about Tenille, things about Tenille the person, not just the international award-winning author, not just the licensed evangelist, but about Tenille the woman, will really get pieces of that by reading Inspiration from Above, because that book, it is a combination of personal narrative and poetry that I combine the two of those really to kind of teach you how to transform tragedy into triumph. And a lot of times what I found is that people, you know, they see you at your peaks, they see you on your mountains, and they don't understand the lows and the valleys that you had to go through to get to that point. And they feel like, okay, if you're on the mountain, then you've never experienced a valley. And so with Inspiration from Above, I kind of go there with people. I kind of get deep, and I tell you about some of the losses that I experienced, some of the adversities that I faced, and how I was able to transform those tragedies into triumph, why it was that when I lost my mother that I didn't stop, when I lost, you know, a variety of people, faced financial hardship, how I was able to take those things and use them as motivational forces to get me to where I am right now. Not just that, it's not just my story, but I also show you how you can do that as well. And so I think for that reason, Inspiration from Above will probably be, using your words, not mine, my favorite book.
Yes, I love Starting Trouble. I love it. It brings so much joy to my heart. But yes, okay, so, one of the books I saw on there that I think is going to be extra hot is the one you got coming out in 2014, and that's in May. It's called Love Me Please. Now, tell me a little bit about that book, because I've read the, that seems like it's going to get real.
You know what, that is, and I am praying, cross your fingers with me, that book actually does come out in May, because what happened was, and I'm going to answer your question, but I can't get straight to it. What happened was I inadvertently started some other projects as well, so I'm putting May 2014 as a tentative date, and the fact that you're looking at all of my books let me know that you are on my website. So, again, another shameless plug. If anybody else wants to look at the books that Sadie J is looking at, you can go to www.tenillestodos.org. That's my personal website, www.tonellstodos.org, and you'll be able to get a look at me and my capacity as an author. Now, getting back to Love Me Please, I am very excited about that book because that is actually going to be my first novel. All of the other books that I wrote are pretty much like quick self-help books because I am not a humongous reader, not because I don't like reading, but because I don't have time to sit down and read, you know, 300 pages every time I sit down to read a book. But I enjoy being informed and being educated. So I write the way that I read. I write for audiences who really like quick reads, who want to get a great nugget or two, you know, in their 5 or 10 minutes that they have to spare. But Love Me Please, it pretty much discusses, it's the tale of 4 different women, all unrelated, and it just talks about their bouts with rejection. We've all gone through some type of rejection, and rejection really does play a huge part in our lives. It kind of dictates it, to a certain extent, how we turn out as adults. A lot of us don't even make it to adulthood because rejection has become so overwhelming that many of us have taken, you know, well, not many of us, but many people have taken their lives or, you know, gone to drugs or different, you know, it's just different tale of 4 different women who have faced some type of rejection. They're all different types of rejection, and it just pretty much unfolds their lives and how they handled the rejection, the ways that the rejection affected them, and whether or not they were actually able to ever overcome it. Some of them were, some of them weren't. But in order to know it, you definitely will have to order the book. So the book is called Love Me Please, and prayerfully it will be out May 2014. Or if not May, it should definitely be out sometime next year.
All right. We're praying for you. Pray
for
you.
Yes, please. Fingers crossed. Please do. Please do.
Oh, man. Now, as far as Your favorite authors that you and they don't have to necessarily be big authors per se. As far as your favorite authors, I'm gonna give you a nice list, a size of list too, so you ain't gotta just narrow down too much. I'm gonna give you 10. Ten of your favorite authors, who would they be and why?
Do I gotta give you 10? Oh, my goodness.
Hey,
I was going to
give you 5. But
I don't know if
I generous,
think 5 would be better.
Because it was the spirit of giving.
No, five would be better.
Hold on.
Yeah, it's more realistic for me.
I had to cut it in half. Here we go.
Yeah, cut it in half. Slice it up. I give away stuff, too. So, yeah, slice it up and give it away. Okay, so, like, of course, Stephen King, and not even because of the fact that I like thrillers or horrors, but I love the way he's a great storyteller. So I like Stephen King. I like James Patterson. I would be remiss to say Tyler Perry, even though he's not an author per se, he's a playwright, but still I love his ability to tell a story. I like Terry McMillan. And then I just have to go low and personal and give a personal shout-out to a great friend of mine. Her name is Dominique Wilkins. She is an up-and-coming author. She resides in the Indiana area, but she is a native from Chicago. And Dominique she does a lot of Christian fiction, like contemporary Christian fiction, and I just think that she is so great. I told her, because we actually are working on a project together, which is the book that's supposed to be coming out next, like within the next few weeks, and it's called She's Out, I'm In. But in so doing that book, I had to read her because, again, keep in mind that I am a predominantly nonfiction author, and she is total fiction. And so in doing this collaboration project, she writes the fiction scenarios, and then I create the self-help solutions. And so she's sending me, you know, all of these different stories that she's written, and I'm like, oh, my God, you are making me a reader, because I typically don't read a lot of fiction. Like, so much of what I read is self-help, but like I say, when I am able to read, it's probably some of those authors that I named. But she is definitely excellent in her own right, and I would definitely tell people she's written probably close to 20 books. All of them, or at least the bulk of them, are all 5-star reviews. So I would definitely tell people, you know, if you want a great novella, a great, you know, fictional story, and most of them have some type of moral to them at the end, definitely check out her stuff. And that's one thing that you don't get other authors to do. Many times you're going to find authors recommending other authors because we are in such a dog-eat-dog world, but that is just so not who I am. Like, I'm always trying to help somebody else, recommend somebody else, and especially if I know that it's a quality recommendation. So anyone who loves fiction, definitely check out my girl, Dominique Wilkins. Her website is author.com. Check her out.
Yeah, you know what? I got a big deal for that. You know, I can tell you're not doing it just to get the just for it to happen, but by default, because of what you're doing, it's also reciprocating of people are tending to show you respect, and you're winning, you're being successful in it because you are giving back. Because I do that all the time myself, being a radio host or being a person that, you know, I got my own radio show. I got my own magazine, but I push other people's stuff because I want people, especially when it comes to people of color, I want us all to win. There's enough room for everybody. We talked about this last Tuesday. We always, why is it that we have to discuss about why is that black people always feel that we got to be in competition with each other? There's a difference between competing and just basically when the competition starts turning that hate train. I think it was real ugly. Mm-hmm. There's a whole other thing. So, yes, I definitely.
No, I mean, most definitely. Like, that's just because I tell everybody, you know, like, God has, he gave me the talent, he gave me the gift of writing books, and I believe that whatever God has for you is for you. So I've never been one to be selfish with my gift, because I too said, as you know, I do have a radio show, Inspirational Talk with Tenille, that also airs on Blog Talk, and I do not use that for promoting myself. You know, it's always to get somebody else on there, give somebody else an opportunity, because I just believe in helping somebody else, you're inevitably helping yourself. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to have it as an ulterior motive. You can have a pure heart and have a clear mind and trying to help other people. And it's like so many times people, they become stagnant because they're trying to do everything by themselves or they're trying to step on somebody else in order to get a foot up. And it's not necessary. You know what I'm saying? Like, in this world, first of all, I really want authors to band together, which is another reason why I put together Authors Promoting Success, because of the fact that I feel like if we all come together, then if it does nothing else, it will help to increase literacy. And that's one of the main issues. Like, as an author, that should be one of the main reasons why you write, is to increase literacy, to get people to want to read more. And and really, a friend of mine, Sheila Lipsy, she's out of Memphis, Tennessee, she has that as her goal in mind as well. And, you know, if all authors could come together and stop being so concerned about, oh, you taking my audience or you trying to take my reader. No, you know what? If you write fiction and I'm nonfiction, how does it hurt me to promote you? You know what I'm saying? If you write thrillers and I write self-help, we can help to promote each other, but it's like it's everybody is trying to be in just for themselves, and I'm not going to help you. And I've just always had that mentality. If I can do anything to help somebody, and anybody that knows me on any level, on a personal or professional level, knows that whatever I can do to help somebody is what I'm willing to do, because it's what God put me on this earth to do.
Exactly. And I definitely – I said, I just, because I know about it firsthand, and so it just doesn't make any sense, because, you know, as far as I've been on Blog Talk, coming March, I've been here for been doing my show for 5 years. And what I'm loving about now is it's slowly getting back to where it used to be, where all the hosts were showing love, they'd be coming to this show. And then I'm going to go to this show, and we all go support each other, help each other grow. It got to a point for a while where everybody was like, me. And, I mean, I remember it was one host, he said, I don't really go to other shows, you know, I feel like I just do my show and I leave, you know, but you want us to come in your show. I just feel that if you can't give, you can't expect to get back, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I really feel, so.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely, definitely. And I'm going to have to flip the script on you one day and get you come over to Inspirational Talk with Tenille. I'm on every Tuesday, and this is actually my third season in with Blog Talk. And it's been, this year actually has been kind of slow because I went through a lot of health issues earlier on. So honestly, for the entire month of November, I don't even think I did a show. I normally only do it once a week, but I think that I took all of November off. But this is officially my third season. But I'm going to have to get you over on the other end of the mic because you know from firsthand, like when we're interviewing people, we really are not talking about ourselves or promoting ourselves. But by you saying, you know, you do stuff with books, and you have your own magazine, we definitely want to get people to know, you know, whoever doesn't know, whatever people, whatever fans I have on Inspirational Talk, whatever listeners I have, let them know, you know, about you and what it is that you do. So between December and January, we're going to try to work something out and get you over there on Inspirational Talk.
All right, you know, I'm down for whatever.
But see, I'm early though. Like I'm at noon. Well, you're Eastern, so I'm 1 o'clock your time though. So like you're late night here. So like actually, it's earlier for me than it is for you because it's just now coming up to 11 p.m. my time. But yeah, so you got to get up early to do my show.
Oh. But yes. Okay. So all right. Now, what we going to do? I want you to go ahead and let everyone know how they can find your stuff and how they can stalk you. I don't call it following. I think stalking is better because that's what people, that's all they're doing. They're stalking your craft. It's not necessarily, now they're stalking like in a bush and going, ooh, I'm about to come catch you now, baby. You know, not that kind of stalking. But they're stalking your craft. Tell everybody how they can stalk you.
Well, you know what? It's a couple different ways. Like just personally for websites, again, for my personal website to know about me as an author, different services that I offer if you want for me to speak at one of your events on some of the topics that we talked about earlier. You need a speaker, you need whatever, services, workshops, all of that. You can go to www.tenillesedoos.org to get information about that. Again, that's www.tenillestoos.org. Now, if you are an author, again, whether you are aspiring, seasoned, or a novice author, and you want more, you know, more information, more insight, more services, go to www.weareaps.com, and you can get, again, you know, I'm not trying to overwhelm your listeners and give them too much, but you can also find me on Facebook at what am I, author TJ MBA. You can follow me on Twitter at TJ Monique, TJ MONIQUE, and I'm also on LinkedIn. So I'm kind of everywhere. Just Google me. Just Google me and you'll find me.
Googling, heck, you know, like we said, you can put it in slow motion and listen. Google for
I'm telling
me
you,
just
Google me, Tenille Jackson, and I'll pop up for a few pages.
So, yes. Oh, man. So, again, I thank you for coming to the show. It was definitely fun and edutaining, and I like to call it edutaining.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the interview. I don't mind, like, I had to put my kids away, you know, for this one because, like I said, 10 o'clock for me normally, and that's how you know you special, because normally I don't do late-night interviews, but Catherine, we both know Catherine Waddell, she's like, you are going to have a blast. So, you know, I'm definitely excited to get back to her and let her know she was 100% right. I did have a blast doing the show. It was very interesting. I think we covered pretty much some of everything that I do, and people will know, you know, kind of my positions on a lot of things. And as you can tell, I'm just like a straight-up truth teller. You know, I don't sugarcoat anything. I don't know how to use tact. So I always tell people, don't ask me my opinion if you don't want to know the truth.
I call my show, all the shows on here Monday through Thursday, I nicknamed them I call it unapologetic radio because I say something, I'm not apologizing for it. I might go, hey, I'm sorry that you feel bad, but I don't apologize mm-hmm. for saying it.
For what I said, that's right. It just is the truth anyway.
Yeah, so, again, I thank you for coming to the show. And we're about to get ready to go and go over my girl T. Marie. Mike, I know she's a builder. And I guess that means that it's the second half of the show. T, what's up?
The deal. What's going on, City? Shout out to everyone listening.
I knew this guy finished interviewing great, awesome Miss Tonell Jackson. She was putting it down on the show today. She was good. She was giving her just like samples. You get a little bit of samples. They got to go read all the books and find out. But she was getting a little bit of samples of this, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, kind of like I'm called the Thanksgiving sampler. You know, when you first go up there, you want to taste everything. So you got to taste. That's how I was. She was getting the Thanksgiving sampler.
Oh, okay. Well, turn it on. It was everybody's Thanksgiving. I know I ate so much. I started my detox today because I really did that. So I'm got to get that body right. Photo shoot's coming up.
Yeah, you got to get it right. Get it right. You want me to keep it real? Tonita said keep it real, right? Tonita said keep it real.
The food was all right. It wasn't of years past
where it's great. Because certain people cook it and not the people who used it. You know, so I'm not going to get into that. That's another show for another day. Because I'm going to start getting mad. I don't want to get mad all over again. Yes, it was all right.
They don't listen because you done just talked about their food. Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, I think it went in. Yeah, they gonna, so he's gonna have their feelings hurt today. So, oh, but you know what? Also, too, I promised everybody. Said middle of the two shows, I was gonna drop the book. Drop the links for the book for Mavoy Anthony Lamar Smith. So I'm going to drop the link now on respective sites, Twitter, Facebook, and on the show right now. You can go get.
Yeah. Send me that
free
too, because I'll go ahead and post it on my social sites too.
Oh, yeah, I forget because it's free. This is free for of all
of
you.
People love free shit, man.
Free. It is F-R-E.
You say free, you sell it, you get it sold.
It's $3.99. All right, so let me go ahead and put this, get to your inbox in a second. The book is called How to Achieve Your Dreams and Goals in 21 Days and Experience Life. And this is a new book he just dropped. He dropped today, this morning at 8 a.m. For Just for Side Monday. And he's doing the giveaway all the way to December 4th. You know, download a copy of the free. You download a copy of the book for free. Yes, for free. So enjoy it. We're gonna put the link out. Y'all can check it out. All y'all gotta do is go to Amazon.com. You know, and I'm gonna drop the link. But for people listening, you can go to Amazon.com. Type in "Achieve Goals, Dreams, Experience Life." It should come up that way. Or type in the title of the book: How to Achieve Your Dreams and Goals in 21 Days and Experience Life. And that's life as an L dot I dot F dot E dot. So there you go. So drop the link. And T. Marie, we're going to go to a quick song break. And we come back, we're going to do what we do best. Clown with you. All right.
Yeah,
so
that's
let's
cool.
See. Well, obviously, what's I want to hit it up.
Well, before
move
you go
this,
into break,
movie.
Let me tell them about my Thanksgiving, City. Look.
Okay, go ahead. You go ahead. Work that. I'm over here trying
like
to do a task.
It ain't like nothing spectacular happened, but I just want everybody to know I ate up some stuff. I hope everybody ate up because that was the holiday. Well, period. On the holidays, I look at it as like, that's the time to indulge. So that way, once the holidays are over, get back on track, focus, and get back in the gym. But I had fun. I was with my family, and I had good food. You should have been out here with me, Steady, and you would have been eating good. And
there you go.
Thankful, so. Yeah, let the song roll, and we'll be back so we can talk about, Chris Brown seems to be hot right now, and Lil Mama, so, yeah.
All righty, well, we're going in. All right, people, we'll be back in a moment. I'm feeling like, you know, I'm going to be turned up off my boy Spinner, because it is a, speaking of being motivated and achieving some goals, we got to get to the money, so let's go. Spinner, get to the money.
Get money.
Money on my mind all the time. Money on my mind all the time. Yeah. Gotta get that money, gotta get that money, gotta get that money, hey, gotta get that money, gotta get that money, gotta get that money, yeah. I'm chasing paper like I'm running in a relay race. Money on my mind all the time, nothing takes its place. I treat my money like a hoe, I spend it, then I get some more. Money is my best friend, you know what I'm saying, foe. I like the sight of money, I like the smell of money, I like the way it sounds
when I'm stacking in my honey.
Yeah, I toss it everywhere. Money throwing all in the atmosphere.
I gotta get to that money. I gotta get to that money. I gotta get to that money. I gotta get to that money.
Get to the money.
Network is currently a total listen number of 2,974,295.
Go ahead. Oh, then. Where's the
hand claps? I had them ready. Y'all were trying to, you know, take the can and do it. I'm gonna take my time.
I'm pretty sure we can get to 3 miles before the end of the year.
Yeah, I feel we can. Even with the, I hadn't told anybody the news yet, and I know everybody's going, "Oh God, are you serious?" The news, the big news. Okay, so y'all know how every year we have a break. We have a little small break. Well, I know I hadn't told y'all yet because I had to prepare y'all for the crocodile tears. Okay, so the last week of shows is the week of the 15th to the 21st. That's the last week of shows. After that, we'll be taking a two-week break and then coming back to the beginning of the year. So Christmas week, New Year's week, we will not be on the air. So you better take in every live part of us you can now, because for those 2 weeks, you'll be listening to archives. So,
yes, guys,
we'll be gone for 2 weeks. Yeah, I know we got to the 2 week break. We know it's part of the master plan. You know, every time we leave for a little bit, go crazy. You're like, oh my God, where's the show? I feel this. And then we come back, y'all good to go, man. Y'all be amped and ready to listen to the show. So it is what it is. So, you know, the last show will be on the 19th. And that'd be the Real Sur Radio episode. So last two episodes on Life of Coast Live, or December 16th and 18th. And after that, the following 2 weeks, we will not be doing the show for those 2 weeks. And then we come back all over again, new season premiere. You know, we'll be doing that on January 6th. So y'all be on the lookout for January 6th. We'll be back. We got the same great show, same great funny. And, you know, it'd be great going into the new season. You know, solidifying again, you know, we've been solidifying more and more and more that, you know, Team Maria is definitely part of the team and a permanent part of the team. You know, I'm highly blessed, man. Words can express how I feel about it every day.
Yeah. Well, they better, everyone, be sure you tune in because we're going to be on break. And y'all know I'm going to be turned up. Now let me stop. Anyway, but yeah, so everybody had a good Thanksgiving. That's good. I know over the holiday we had some tragic happen. We lost Paul Walker. Did you hear about that, Sandy?
Yes, I did. I did hear about that. I just talked about it yet. And definitely, it was crazy. I was just watching Too Fast and Furious, you know, the other day, and this was before it happened. It was this weekend. I was watching it. You know, they had it on TV. They had the movie on TV. And then the incident happened. You know, the reported incident literally the next day or late that night. It was crazy. I'm like, what the heck? I just got fans watching this dude on TV. I'm sitting here looking at it. And, you know, they said the DVD coming up. The DVD is coming up this week and everything. Look at the timing of that. It just happened all the at the exact time, all this stuff happening, you know, there's already coming out on the second day already, and he dies around that time. It's like, oh, man. I was just like, man, how the next Fast and Furious is going to be? You know, there's going to be another one. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, unless it's the last one. Every time they make one, they say this is the last one they're making, but I think that's just to get it sales because they're already on Fast 6, so after the third one, you know. Anyway, but I think that they will make another one eventually. And then they might just be, like, short of character. I don't know. But my condolences go out to the family because I do know, you know, somebody lost a dad. Somebody, you know, he was there. So my heart goes out to
him. He was
4 years
old.
Kinda,
those of you that realize that.
He was young, and then he was in a Porsche. He was driving a Porsche, and they say that the Porsche had a V10 engine, so it would go real fast. So, you know, a lot of experienced drivers wasn't able to handle that type of vehicle. So he must have been a real Fast and Furious fella. But, you know, the car crashed.
I didn't even say the funny tone of voice or anything I said, but I remember I told somebody, it's just ironic. It's like, wow, how is the thing that you're known for the most is what you die in? You know, you're known for Fast, mm-hmm. Fast and Furious, and the way you die was in the car crash. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
He was young. He definitely was young. You know, life, another life gone too soon. But, I mean, yeah. I'm sad. I'm ending on it is what it is. But, I mean, they're doing an autopsy tomorrow. So they'll have more as to what led to the accident, because I don't think it was just a fast car that made, you know, it had to be something, whether it was the issue with the car itself, whether he had something, you know, to drink or something like that, something factored into it. It's not like he just got in his car and ran into a light pole. So I'm just waiting on the autopsy, which will be released. They're doing the autopsy tomorrow. Whenever it's released, I'll definitely try to remember to follow up with that, because I do want to know what happened with it, because, of course, you know, there's some expensive cars, and I hope it wasn't nothing wrong with the car itself. You know how all these cars always have recalls and stuff, so just looking forward to seeing the outcome of this situation. But my condolences are with the family. And then, did you hear the follow-up from Chris Brown?
Whoa, run that bit.
You remember I did the show about a month ago, and I did it on Chris Brown. Chris Brown had got into it with two guys because he was taking a picture, and the guys tried. Okay, well, follow up from that story. Look at me. So Chris Brown was kicked out of rehab for You knew that he got kicked out of rehab? Okay. So he got kicked out of rehab, and then when he got kicked, he wanted to leave rehab originally, but his mom was trying to get him to stay stay during the rehab, and he was like he wanted to leave. So apparently during their little heated dispute, he threw a rock at the mom's window and shattered her window. Well, I mean... And after that happened, rehab, they kicked him out of rehab. But he's in rehab for anger management. So what I'm trying to understand, my question to people, and anybody can call in and definitely get their feedback, because this is a show where I want to interact with the people. So should Chris Brown have stayed in rehab? Or, you know, did rehab make the right decision in letting Chris Brown out? Because my thing of it is, he's in there for anger management. So him throwing a rock at a window is clear signs that he need more anger management. So why kick him out? Your thoughts, Diddy?
That's stupid. That's like kicking somebody out of jail because they're beating up people in jail. Like, that sounds stupid. Like, I don't know, man. I have my reservations about some of these rehab programs anyway. I really do. I have my reservations about them. And I just on celebrity stuff, I just feel like, really, at the end of the day, you're still a person. And yes, you did go learn all this. You did go learn a lot of stuff and as a doctor, you know, have a degree in it and whatnot. Or you're certified, whatever you're talking about. But I just feel at the end of the day, a person is going to be what they're going to be, and they're going to change when they're ready to change. You know, everybody's like, well, it's important that you go, you get checked out. You know, they're always going to feed you that. But I feel sometimes they instead of, you know, so they can continue and get money and more money, some of these people, I feel like they prolong some of this stuff. Yeah. And I feel that, you know, and I feel by them kicking out on Chris Brown that they didn't really give a good chance. I mean, it just makes you say, okay, you kicked him out, then what does that say about your rehab facility?
The program, exactly. What type of program you have in place? Because obviously, I guess with him throwing the rock at the window, I would consider that a form of relapse, because he allowed anger. You know, he allowed to become, you know, back, you know, active by anger, like a person if they, you know, in rehab for crack. If they go back to crack, then they relapse. So I would think that by him throwing the rock at the window, that's just a point to try to start over and really, like, understand what's going on with him mentally to where he snaps like that, because no way in the hell would I be throwing a rock at my mom's car. I'm sorry. I just couldn't see me doing
it.
No
matter how mad I get, it ain't happening.
And everybody know when I was first reporting all the stories about Chris Brown, I was totally, you know, I'm like, I'm for Chris Brown, which I'm still not against him at this point. I just would never go, me personally, I would never go against my mom to the point where I'm acting out of anger or rage. If I'm frustrated, it's time to step away and regroup. But I guess that's probably why I'm not in anger management, because I know how to control my anger. But I don't think he should have threw the rock at the mom, you know, mom's window. I wonder if he paid to get it fixed. Look at me. Because he probably support her, so he probably ended up in to get it fixed in a damn way. But
throwing the rock, I mean,
I don't know. So do you think that Chris' mom made the right decision by making him stay and trying to get him to stay in rehab?
No, that was the job in the first place. You know, he was in there. She was trying to get him to stay in there, and she was trying to do, I mean, so many different ways around it. She was trying to do what she had no other choice, and she couldn't figure out any means of what to do, so she decided to put him in there, so I understand. But the same token, obviously, they haven't, you know, they gave up on him and kicked him out. So, you know, it makes it hard of what are you sending him?
Yeah. I mean, I can understand.
I think I feel this way. He needs to get a private, if he's going to go that route, he needs to get a private psychiatrist and come to his comfort, come to his place and help him get better, because, you know, we're trying to go to rehab, it's all the media darlings are running around waiting. Oh, what's Chris Brown going to do? Oh, he's coming out of the facility, coming out of the facility, this, that, and the other. And I think he should do the sessions at his house. I mean, you ain't going to want to break your own stuff now. So I think he should do it.
Yeah.
He should do it from there. And really,
yeah, I think
counsel, you know, counsel to do. Find out the root of the problem is.
Yeah, that's why I say someone needs to get in his mind and see what's going on with him mentally to where, you know, to where he's acting out like that. And then, what you know, a while back, Chris Brown was saying that the reason why, like, once him and Rihanna had their situation, Chris Brown spoke out and said that the reason why he reacts the way he does and that he has such anger issues is because he saw how his stepdad treated his mom. And so that's what he's saying, that his anger and, you know, his problems and, you know, issues is stemming from. But his mom feel, and you can't, you know, this is where we can have an open discussion, you know, discussion. Look at me like telling you, you already know, we talk about everything openly. But his mom feels that his friends are the people who've caused him to have this type of attitude and this type of anger problem. She's saying that Chris comes around her stoned and, you know, high and stuff, and just all disrespectful. But the mom blames the friends, Chris's friends, and Chris blames the stepdad. So who's really the blame setting?
I don't even know. I don't get to the point where my
I don't even know. Because I think that you being an adult and that you're being grown, you being an adult, I just think stability for their own actions. I'm the type, and I teach my little boy this to this day. When he has the problem at school or he has the conduct issues, he got an end or whatever, and I ask him, I'm like, what happened? He's quick to tell me what the other person's done, and that's not what I want to hear. I want you to look at the situation and see, what did you do wrong here to make the situation the way it is? Because no one asked Chris Brown to hit anyone, you know? So, what, you know, I think Chris Brown should take responsibility for his own actions. Don't blame your mama. Don't blame your daddy. Don't blame your granny. I mean, find out what Chris Brown did to make. What do Chris Brown, what triggers Chris Brown to make Chris Brown hit a motherfucker upside the head whenever he get mad? Stop blame. I just say he needs to accept responsibility for his own action. So, you know, stepdaddy used to beat your mama. Beat your mama. I mean, at the end of the day, your mom made the choice to stay in that relationship. So how can you, you know, how can it, you know, you shouldn't let it affect you. So I say he should take responsibility.
Yeah, they gonna learn. They gonna learn today, one way or another.
Okay, Kevin Hart.
Hey, I didn't say quite like Kevin Hart. I said one way or another. See, I said it more tuned down in. But yeah, oh, you know, I wanted to shameless plug. You know, y'all know how I tried to be good. Keep the lack of shameless plug. I was down sometimes, but hey, you know, we posted the pictures, posted the stuff. We gave y'all some sneak peeks for what's going down in issue number 4 of Human Canvas. Yeah, it's serious.
Oh, yes. I like those images, too. See, we got his little tattoos working and stuff, all tatted up, inked up with the white beater. You should have had you should have dressed like Mr. Clouds with your beard, the old white beard.
Nah, see,
you could have had
the
beard
work. I have a young, rough version of, I was rugged. You know, I'm rugged. You know, I started the tattoos and the rugged face.
So you the rebel Santa.
Yeah, I'm the rebel. So you know, I'm like bad Santa, but I'm not bad. We know I'm on a different level than he was.
No,
you
not bad.
You know? Yeah, I'm not evil. You know, I'm evil with it. You know, I'm just what people consider bad, and it really, it's kind of afraid that the third what people think about Santa Claus that, oh, he's always so jolly. He's always this, any other. No, it's about, you know, really having fun of taking you outside the box of what Santa Claus is like. Anyway, y'all remember, if y'all watched the movie, Something of the Guardians. I can't even remember the name of it, but I love that movie because it had, like, Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, Mr. Sandman, Easter Bunny, you know, all that stuff, Jack Frost. And Santa Claus even has on, and a children's movie, Santa Claus has tattoos. I ain't gonna lie, that kind of gave me the idea to do it. I said, oh, man. I was like, you know, yeah, this is a children's movie they're doing it. Yeah, so that's like a tatted up Santa. Yeah, it's like, Santa Claus, I was make Santa seem like he always soft and curly, jolly all the time. You know, let's just take it another route. I don't mean he got to be, like, evil, like, acting a fool, robbing people, like, on Bad Santa. But he's more so on the, you know, he just
you the sound that's dropping, you the sound that's dropping grills in the stock and stuff.
Right, you know, just do what I do, you know. So, do what I do. And big ups to Will, man, for putting it down. You know, you got Cat. Catalina Monet, you know, as Mrs. Claus, and you got the girl, Miss Cammy G, as my head elf. And it was fun, man. We had a lot of fun with you. Y'all gotta see this magazine. I can give y'all everything. Like the ones where we got me and the elf and me and Mrs. Claus. Like a lot of the stuff is goofy. It's sexy yet goofy. Which the whole Robin should go the whole time. Is you can have fun and be goofy and still be sexy at the same time. And you gotta be the same, oh, okay, this time you gotta be sexy. Like, have fun with it. So we give y'all a little fun in there. gotcha.
Your little elf was real. She did her, your little elf. She was cute.
Yeah.
I like her. Her look was good. I mean, everybody, you know, was real good. Like, I noticed your tattoos. I really noticed everything, but the little elf, she looked like she was kind of a naughty little elf.
That's Cammy. That's Cammy Jesus. You know, with all of it.
But she was still,
no,
I mean,
been,
it was sexy, nothing too provocative, but it just looked like she was a naughty little elf. I don't know how she was standing half foot. Now I'm playing.
There's one guy I can see in the magazine. But I'm not gonna, you know, you have to figure out the magazine, see all the guests, see all the way. There's one where I'm peeking up Miss McCall's skirt. I don't have it all the way up, but like,
ooh,
I'm pulling up like I'm peeking. So y'all have to see that one. It's not, they have my butt naked. Now don't people like, ooh man, I'm about to go see my butt naked. Nah, you ain't getting that. No, it is like real innocent and fun yet sexy and thing down. That was the route we went with. It was fun. But come January, the black lingerie issue. So that's gonna get crazy. The black lingerie issue is gonna get wild. So I will be telling y'all some of the stuff coming up for the year for Human Canvas later episodes, but the one and only T. Marizzi.
Well, thank you, Sadie. Thank you. No.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess what we could do is, Sadie, if you could just find another little music interlude, we'll go to a music interlude, then we'll come back. If anybody watched the Soul Train Awards yesterday.
Oh, man, yeah, I'm ready to talk about that. I've been turned up. Like, oh, she talking about it. I'm going to be turned up today. She's talking about it.
Yes,
yeah.
So y'all definitely feel free to call in. What was your most memorable moment? What, you know, what were some things you liked? What were some things you didn't like? I mean, just call in and let's talk about it, shoot.
I ain't like you. That's what I didn't like.
You ain't like who, me?
Yeah.
I wish I was on that thing. Your girl wouldn't know. I'll be on that next show, but not with me. But yeah, I wasn't on it this year, y'all. I wasn't on
it. Oh, you're right. Because it looks, you know, I seen some. I will be going on some of the fashion, too. I got some jokes about that, too. I will be going in. I'm going to throw an exclusive. Not necessarily exclusive. I'm going to throw a little special remix on that nowhere on y'all. So we'll be back right here on Life of the Dust Lives, the T. Marie Hour with your boy, City J, and, of course, the hostess with the mostest, the girl, T. Marie.
Yeah, right. Keep it locked. Don't go nowhere.
candy rings.
And can't you see my candy rings? Oh, let me stop, y'all. Singing
oh,
my,
yes,
my
let you stop.
Turn up. No, let me stop. Anyway.
Yes,
but
that's the end. Let it stop immediately.
Yes, I know. Yeah, pray for me. So, yeah, what's up? What you want to talk about? What was your most memorable moment? You say you want to talk about fashion and it all, so go for it.
Man, I got so much. I mean, from start to finish, there was good in fashion. There was, of course, bad in fashion. First off, let's give credit where it's due. Ashanti was working that dress. That sheer new dress.
I felt she could have did a little more. She could have, did a little more.
She gave us enough to let the mind wander. I'm going to give her props.
Did you see Kate Michelle with all that ass?
God, don't get me started. You're gonna get me keeping it too real today.
But what? No, let's talk. Okay, Michelle got too much booty. That did not make no damn sense.
See, her booty was big, but second season of what was that freaking show called? Why can't I say it? Love and Hip Hop ATL. She right before that season. She went and got that booty, but she got that booty upgrades.
Did she?
Yes, her butt was big, but she got it astronomically big.
Okay, girl. Man, she got it enhanced, but it looked like it was jiggling when she was walking on stage. When she was in that white, it looked like it was jiggling. So I don't know, Sadie. I don't know.
You might go do. You want to go do your research and even come catch at the horse's mouth. Go do your research. I made sure I did my research for my mouth.
She said she got a booty job, City.
Yes. So she had a big. Oh. Let me remind you. She had a big butt already, astronomically done.
Okay, Michelle looked like a donkey from the back. She looked like a straight donkey from the back, especially with all that long-ass hair. I used to say that long-ass hair, like how that horse be having that one strip of hair.
I know she trained the weeds on us so many times in that show. She had the red weeds, and she had the black weeds.
Yes, I said I'm going to start rocking weeds because maybe I'm doing too much with these sewings. Because her wigs was real pretty. I mean, I really like Kay Michelle. She did her thing. So I'm glad to see that
she
got her award so early.
She was on point.
So that's good.
Her dress on point. But, yeah, okay. And here's the exact key, because I want to make sure I get the words all the way out of my mouth to make sure it adds up, because, people want to, want to try to challenge the boy, the man at the that gets the tea freshly brewed. I get freshly brewed tea, people, okay? That's how I do it. And anyways, she admits to a butt lift. Admits to it. Which is, she didn't get injections, but she got a butt lift, which is what made it look more, higher up. Is that's why it's up there a little more now, and it looks a little bigger, coming out more. So, yeah.
I guess. Well, shout out to all the women with the real bodies. Look at me. Anyway, what else you like? What you thought about Lil Mama performing with TLC?
Oh, well, yeah, she did it at the AMA. Yeah, I love that. I was filming it.
For some reason, I'm just loving Lil Mama with TLC, and I know it's like.
Did you hear the new tea?
Huh?
And you heard the new tea about that? About speaking of which, they're actually thinking about actually signing, adding Mickey
her
a permanent part of the
group. People been thinking, because that's what I was gonna ask. Do y'all think Lil Mama? Do you think
I can see it happening. I can see that not being. I can see that rumor actually becoming actually true. I'm gonna tell you why. Because
I can see her. Well, go ahead.
The thing is, it's not that she's replacing Left Eye. Yes, she did play Left Eye in the movie, but she has her own swag and she's herself. And, you know, they, in order for them to really continue to go on, and eventually, you know, when they can't do no more, they're going to need someone younger, you know, their younger generation. Think about the Temptations. The Temptations had people come some point in time, more people to the group that came after a lot of them that were younger, and to keep continuing legacy going. Well, that's the same thing with TLC. I can see that happening. Lil Mama's very, she's highly notarized. And a lot of things that with Left Eye, they kind of mirror image each other because, you know, they're both always in the media for just their outlandish things that they don't care. They would say what they want to say type stuff. And I can see her being in a group. And, I mean, a lot of people are very accepting of it. Because I think when I heard that cover, oh, many people start hating. You got a few people that's like, oh, well, she can't replace Left Eye. But you got a lot of people who are saying that they feel the decision because, like I said to somebody yesterday, I feel she's taking the right rites of passage. And she just has a different vibe. I like them together. It fits well.
I really do. I like them together. I like them together, but I don't know. I don't know about just using the TLC name. Now maybe it can be like Lil Mama and TLC or something like that. Because I don't know. Just think about it. When Beyonce had Destiny Child and she replaced Latavia, you know, she replaced Latavia for Michelle. You know what I mean? It just wasn't. It wasn't the same for Destiny's Child. So I just don't.
So they still went and saw
like
a bunch of albums after that.
Together, huh?
They still went and saw a bunch of albums today and sold out a lot after that. So obviously, it's still worth.
That's why I'm
it
saying I'm for
way.
Them doing it, but I don't like for as we, you know, like doing the same songs and stuff. Maybe they can do some remakes. The songs that they've already done or something, but some kind of way.
Yeah, that's something they've been talking
Lil
about.
Mama's
they've been talking about remaking the songs like that. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Because you know she don't want her to lose herself, but I mean it will be a good look for Lil Mama, especially she got MC Light managing her now, so she got a lot of things coming. But I don't think she should step behind the TLC name. I just think she should try to just collab with them and do as much work like how Drake make a remake Aaliyah songs and stuff like that. I'm for her doing all of that, but I just don't want her to lose her image all behind TLC name. I still want her to keep Lil Mama name some kind of way. So maybe the
wait,
but
you think about this? LSG. When you think of LSG, LSG was a Vert, Key Sweat. You know, it was Jerome Vert, Key Sweat, and Johnny Gill.
Mm-hmm.
We still recognize them as their separate entities. They just collaborated as LSG.
Their name, though, their name is the end of their, I mean, their initials is the end of their name. So maybe if they can say TLC, the L is for Lil Mama, and make it some kind of way where they're recognizing it, you know, from her album, she says L for Lil Mama. You know what I mean? Just
no,
some
but
kind
no,
of
no,
way
no, no,
Lil
no,
Mama
I'm saying it's piggybacking off of what you said. You said Lil Mama collaborating with them and not necessarily losing herself. Well, I don't think that she's going to lose herself. I don't think that people are going to lose what TLC is. I just, you know, I feel that it's going to work as far as doing something. Doing a project and then, you know, she still gets to still be Lil Mama. I think that's the route they're going to go. So, I'm saying I agree with what you're saying. I'm just telling you exactly how it's going to work out altogether. I'm giving
it's
the action
look for Lil Mama. It's definitely a good look for Lil Mama, but she want to stay, you know, Lil Mama. So, but
yeah, she
I mean, whatever
stay,
they decide,
I ain't
her man.
Busting up New York with Jay-Z and Alicia Keys singing and going to stay out of nowhere.
Yes, did you hear what Alicia Keys said about Lil Mama when Lil Mama came on stage? You didn't hear that.
I forgot. I forgot. I forgot. It was so long. It was It was about, what, about a year or two ago? I forgot what she said.
I don't even remember exactly when it took place, but Alicia Keys was interviewed, and, oh, I wish I had the footage, but Alicia Keys did an interview, and during her interview, they asked her, it was after the performance where it was just supposed to be Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, I think it was, just supposed to be on stage. But Lil Mama got on stage. Okay. That wasn't a part of the plan, so they asked Alicia Keys, well, how did you feel about Lil Mama coming on stage? And Alicia Keys' response was, I preferred she didn't. You know, like, she really, you know, wish she hadn't did this shit.
That the spirit was moving her too much. I mean, the spirit, I heard the spirit moving you, but not moving you like that. Wow, that's, wow.
She hopped on stage, but I guess she said, like, since it was a song about New York, she's from New York, so why not do it? But what I'm trying to understand is, the security probably thought Lil Mama was a part of the act or something, because
right.
That was just out of line.
That was the year that Kanye West said, I'm going to let you finish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the same show where Kanye West said that thing
about
exactly Taylor Swift.
You're right, because that's when he took the mic from Taylor Swift. You're right. Man, they must have had, they better tighten up, look, because these people are is crazy.
Now, you know, did you watch the awards from start to finish?
You know what? I didn't catch the last end because I had to get my little boy.
Oh, man, you missed the last part? You missed the end of the show?
Yes.
That was the part that she had to wait for. I don't know what they got. They came turned up. They turned the Soul Train Music Awards out, everybody. Dougie Fresh came out with Cali Swag, and he was rapping on Teach Me How to Dougie Fresh. He was killed. It was going in, and then they had Big Daddy Kane come out, and Big Daddy Kane, you know what my mom and dad was sitting watching, like, he could do the moves though. Big Daddy, I said, I bet you he do. That man brought the moves out. He did the move. What would up, Kane? He was killing the moves. It was just like, oh man, and then they did this. Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick was doing the show, the song, the show.
Uh-oh.
It's all because of you. They was, oh,
I
man, I'm about to go crazy all over you. Let's think about it.
Y'all ain't know I knew about that. That was a little bit before my time, but your girl grew up on that type of stuff.
Yeah, they was going in, and then Keith Sweat, because you saw Keith Sweat perform,
that
right?
That was my boo thing. I was waiting on you to come to an end so I can chat to the ladies about Keith Sweat. Didn't he come out there looking gooder than ever, ladies? Yes,
oh,
I said gooder. Yes, I said gooder. Not better, but gooder than ever. Yes, ladies. Call in and talk to me. Yes. Okay. What you want to
do? He called. You know what? See, this is how you know when you're a person, when you talk trash, you own it. I owned it. He said that comment about people always talking about, I'm always making music about, I'm always whining, begging my sons. But, whining, begging made me successful. Hey, I'm still going to make jokes
like
about whining, begging.
It seemed like he was whining as much that when he was singing this time.
He made it hard. He made it hard for a brother out here. We can't do nothing, man. We got we got crawl the ground. Him and Lenny Williams and Babyface. I only think of you on two occasions. Wow, really, Babyface?
At night, come on.
I mean, they bang so much. I'm like, oh man. We ain't coming back from this one.
I mean,
we're not coming back. Y'all runs a bag every time now.
Keith Sweat did his thing, big up, because he's still looking good. Sports Kojo, iCandy. Who was your favorite? Who would be your favorite host? I didn't really like. I have nothing against Anthony Anderson. I don't want any other. You know, don't anybody take it that way. But Anthony Anderson wasn't the best. The best person to me so far that done the awards, and I don't know if it was Soul Train or if it was just the awards in general, but Samuel Jackson, he did amazing with his stuff. Him and then Kevin.
Oh, he did the BET Awards.
Huh?
That 1 year. He did the BET Awards that 1 year.
Yes, and I love him. That's like one of the people who stick out to me with the awards because the way he acted and stuff, it was just like funny. But Anthony Anderson, he was okay, but I think what he forgot, and I guess maybe kids were supposed to be watching because a lot of his stuff was kind of like too, you know, like Carl
was
up there.
They had me. I'm over there dying laughing. I'm over there talking. I was over there talking on Facebook, telling everybody that Lester C is the best R&B group, is the best R&B group of the millennium or some kind of crazy crap like that.
No, that
was hilarious. I was over there like, because one of the dudes is Cole from Martin.
I know that's Cole. He was popping his piece in the movie when he was like, oh yeah, and had his little popping his little Peter Weeder. Then I had the guy acting gay. I mean, it was the guy at the gate that was cool, but just, like, the guy. And then Anthony Anderson hit him in and somebody that ain't real. You know, we got to be mindful of the type of crowd we have. Now, me, I'm, you know, live my life, but at the same time, that's why, you know, that could be a reason why gay is so high nowadays. But when you're looking like, well, why? So many people gay.
Yeah, the guy that was doing that, He's a hilarious comedian too. He's the one that Kanye used to always do. He used to always have that notebook and he'll tell a joke and then every time everybody started laughing, he'll write it. He'll look at his notebook and put a check mark by it. Okay, that was a good.
No, he did good. It was nothing bad about him. I just didn't like Cole popping his Peter Weeder everywhere and then Anthony Anderson hitting it in because now little boys going to be running around hitting each other in their teeth thinking it's cool and people not going to be able to have kids. But, I mean, that's just my suggestion, my thoughts. Maybe I'm just going thinking too far in advance.
You are doing what I should call DTMing, doing the most.
Whatever, no. That's too well. I mean, the phone lines are open, so anybody want to, you know, just feel it, go ahead, but that's the way I feel. That's my opinion. But, yes. Oh, big shout out to my boo, Tay Mark Braxton. That girl brought it home, didn't she?
You said who now?
Tamar Braxton.
Tamar was,
she won two awards off of that dress she came in with, on the
performance, but I'm not going to start. I'm going to be good.
I want to get on that bodysuit because that is my boo. But that island one she had that had some little sequins down there by her vagina, I promise you it looked like she had a piece down there. I'm just saying that's my personal opinion. But that's my boo. I was so proud of her. You know, anybody call my phone, y'all going to hear her. Y'all going to hear her on my ring back. So that's.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Shut up. But I love her. I thought for sure. I say Tamar is out there because when she first came out there, she was acting all quiet and subtle and stuff, and I'm like, this is not the Tamar. Why is she farting? Then all of a sudden, she just let loose, and then I just was so happy. I was like, that's my boo. That's my boo, because I like when people just let loose and don't try to put on the front for the media, so just be yourself, you know, and people don't just...
Shout out to Dr. Warwick, too. I was crying. They say my song, that's what friends are for. Everybody know that's my song, man. That's my Dionne Warwick song.
My mom said that's her song.
I went from 1 to 10 at nowhere. That song came on. I was like, oh, man. I just got turned up as soon as I heard that.
Honey, Whitney looked a lot alike, too. I was looking on a lot of her pictures because, you know, that's Whitney Amy, I believe, her Amy.
Yes, her Amy. That's why I kept trying to auntie Dion the whole dumb show. And I was like, why are you trying to auntie Dion? I said, that's my auntie Dion.
I'm looking too like Snoop Dogg. But, yeah, so who else performed? Let me try to think of some more people because I know I remember Tamar and I remember K. Michelle. I didn't like K. Michelle in that white. If she did was going to have on that white, I think she should have had on a girdle or something. Because she's starting to just put, I don't know. What else?
You ain't going to have a talk with her because in the day, that's what friends are for good times. In bad times, I'll be on your side forevermore. That's what friends are for.
Hey, what did you see the look at me thinking about Nelly fine ass. Did you see the Nelly on the Cheerio commercial, the Honey Nut Cheerio commercial giving the honeybee some swag?
No, I hadn't seen that yet. You talking about the honeybee has the one commercial where the honeybee has a commercial where he remixed the Nelly commercial. He remixed it. That I forgot he used that. If you want to go and take a ride with me, he used that song. I forgot how the one the Honey Nut Cheerios with.
I don't remember the exact song that he had on there. It was like I know that Nelly gave him swag because you know how the Honey Nut Cheerio. I think he'd be naked or something, and so he stayed. And then he, you know, you just gotta see it. I love the little Honey Nut Cheerio commercial. That was a good look for Nelly, too. And I love, but he just swagged the little swagged the honeybee out. And then at the end of it, the honeybee say his little kids line that he normally say for Honey Nut Cheerios. And then Nelly like, man, we got to change that, too. And then they put on some little songs and stuff. No, he say sweet with a little beat in the background. I'm goofy. Oh, my God.
But I said we got about two minutes left for the show, or about a minute and a half.
Oh, we got to wrap it up. So you got to start. Or you got something else you want to say for our start?
Shoot, man. You know, y'all got to check it out. The magazine will be coming out this week. You be on the lookout.
Yep.
It's coming out. Next week is going down. And Blue Moon. I Am So Divine. It's a huge I Am So Divine takeover. It is, wow, it's going to be bananas.
And we're
talking about they coming from, we got one coming from all the way on the East Coast. And we got one coming from all the way in the West Coast. We got two coming from the West, East Coast coming out. And, of
so
course,
up
you know.
W.
Yes, it might be a surprise guest there. You'll never know what our Divine family members might be in the building. But, you know, y'all see them. So y'all be on the lookout for that, man, because it'll be crazy. Winter Wonderland. So there you go.
Thanks everybody for tuning in. Be sure y'all follow me on my social sites. Instagram is tmarie_the_model. Follow me on Twitter at tmarie_mod and like me on Facebook at tmarie the model. Yep. I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. I hope y'all enjoyed the show. Be sure y'all, you know, tune in. Every Monday, every Wednesday from 11 to 12. Also, check out City Day segment from 10 to 11 and turn up with your girl.
All right, y'all. We're about to roll now. Remind you, everything you do, no matter how you do it, remember where there's a J or where there's
a T
or where there's a U, there is a way. Y'all tuned in to an episode of Life at the Dust Live. Your boy, St. J, and your girl,
T. Marie.
All right, we out, y'all. Peace.
Howdy.
Peace.